reading at the cross. Turn to a chapter in the Gospel of John, parts of which are very familiar. We are picking it up in the middle, though. If you were to look at your Bible, it would be like in the middle of a paragraph that the thing begins, this reading. In chapter 3, we have an episode in which Jesus has an encounter with a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, who comes not in the light of day, but in the dark of night, as if he may be a bit ashamed. He may be not wanting to be seen approaching this character about whom many things are said in his circles, some of which maybe not so good. He comes and Jesus talks about being born from above. And Nicodemus has questions, you know, how can a person be born again? Perhaps you recall that part of the story. Jesus speaks not about the process of physical birth, but of how seeing things from heaven's eyes is essential. Jesus here, as we listen, perhaps is more the voice of the first believers than just the voice of Jesus. But still, we listen. Immediately preceding this, Jesus speaks of, well, why don't you listen? Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. May God bless the reading of this word. We place the cross not up upon a distant wall, but where it belongs. This cross belongs in the middle of God's people. Just as that pole was set up long ago for the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness, complaining. Of course, we never complain, do we? When the way grows drear, all too easily. Yes? Now, I'm not really all that certain what to do with the story that we heard earlier from the book of Numbers. Actually, our Jewish friends don't do much with it either. They have questions about it as well. I mean, when people complain, does God send bad to happen, for that's what happened according to this story that we have received. Snakes in the wilderness, painful bites, death. And they repented pretty quickly, if you were listening. And God told Moses to set up a pole and put a bronze serpent on it, that when people looked at it, when they raised it up in the middle of God's people, some good things would happen. There'd be healing. Lift it up. Lift it up. That's the essential point that is being pulled out in this particular scripture. Lift it up. Of course, our Jewish friends know, and so should we, that later on in the life of God's people, in the day of King Hezekiah, people were making an idol out of this serpent on a pole, and so it needed to get brought down. Likewise with us, when we make this cross an idol to worship, for it is not to be worshipped. We worship the true God, not the old rugged cross. Crisis has come in life. Times when we question what on earth God might be doing. You know, for some of us who are distant from God, those are easy perhaps to understand. Bad times come because we need to repent. But for those who are whom I might call cradle Christians, who have suckled at the breast of Mother Church from day one, struggles a real problem. They're a crisis for our faith. In this particular reading from John's Gospel, Jesus talks about God's love for this world. In this way, God loved the world, sending His Son to be present in the midst of His people. That is how God loves. We call this, in theological terms, the incarnation. God loved by sending His Son to be with us, to be a very physical presence. And anyone who has been through a crisis knows how important it is to have somebody to sit with you as you're going through a tough time. In some ways, that might be the most significant thing, to just have somebody there to listen. Beside you, not to judge you, not to say, you shouldn't feel that way. Don't you have any faith? But someone to be there for those moments. The word crisis, by the way, what does it mean? What does crisis mean? Does crisis mean when bad things happen? No. The word crisis actually is a word about decisions. It's a word that, if you look up in the dictionary, has to do with turning points in lives, decisive moments, moments when things can and do happen, when we can move in a particular direction. I think of crisis points as points in life when the box of our life, you know, if we could put everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we do into a box, and there it sits in life. And sometimes we get stuck in a rut. And, you know, we kind of push this box forward. And if we got everything in this box, what happens? It's hard to push, right? How do you move a box? Unless you have lots of people, helping to pick it up and move it. But aside from that, how does this box get moved? Well, one crisis moments are moments in life when that box gets moved up on its edge. In fact, maybe not the one long edge, but the very edge where there's just a point on the ground. And that box could move in many different directions, can it not? A crisis point is a fertile point when change can happen. Sometimes we actually need crisis points in our life to get us to move, for we get stuck in place. And crisis is actually, dare I say it, good news? Yes? The word crisis is actually found in this reading this morning, where it talks about how God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. There are all too many people doing that now, many of whom bear the title Christian. But that's not why God sent the Son into the world. But that the world might, and the word judge is actually the word crisis. That the world might be moved into a moment of crisis, which is actually good news. The cross is actually a moment of crisis, which throws the world into relief. Everything else besides the cross goes into gray. And there's stark contrast for God's people. The cross is a turning point. The cross is a moment of decision for each one of us. And it's not just a once-in-a-lifetime moment of decision. You know, there are those moments when we, all of us, need to choose God's direction. Need to choose to follow Jesus. But those moments are not just once in a lifetime. They are crisis moments throughout our lives. And all of us, whether we were enemies of the cross, which, as Paul would say, includes everybody, or cradle Christians, all of us have these moments. And these are actually good news moments. We may call them bad news moments. I mean, moments when we face the loss of a loved one. When we face into something like a divorce. When we come to a place where we don't know how we can keep going. And life seems on edge. The good news is right at that moment, the Son is there. Sitting next to us, not to condemn us, but to set us free and help that box to move and to lead us in God's direction. Crisis ministry. Well, you know, we're all part of that, don't you? It's not just the preacher. The preacher, by the way, doesn't really, just like the cross, belong up far away, up in some pulpit, distant. Belongs right here because the preacher is one of you. We are all, in fact, speakers of good news. We are all there, placed beside not only persons in this room, but persons where we live and work. To be there, we don't have to have all the answers to the questions of life. Like, why did things happen the way they do? Just being there is important. And pointing to the cross. Lift high the cross, my brothers and sisters, in your life. John 3:16 hit the news this past year, didn't it? Who was that guy, Denver Broncos, what, Tim Tebow? You know, he wrote 3:16 in black relief. And I don't know how I feel about that, but the least that happened out of that was it brought God into the equation. You know, actually could talk about it in public. It was a good thing, right? I don't necessarily believe that God enabled him to run, what, the 3:16. There was something about that, wasn't there? A lot of 3:16 things out there. I believe that God empowers people on all teams, don't you think? But God is present at every step of the way. And we lift up the cross wherever we are. Not as a form of condemnation. We don't come before people and hold that cross and say, you're bad. Do we? We hold up the cross and say, we all stand beneath it. And it's good news. Good news. Good news.